Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Thursday. This is Seattle Now. Commuters rejoiced this weekend as light rail pulled into Northgate Station for the first time. And it's just the beginning of what could be a transformation of the city's North End.
You know, it's exciting. The growth connecting this community to the other side of the bridge. We are just checking off the possibilities.
KUOW reporter Joshua McNichols will tell us more in a minute. But first, let's get you caught up. An update from yesterday. It looks like more Seattle police officers are getting their vaccine paperwork in, but the city could still be looking at losing potentially hundreds of cops over it. As of yesterday, 292 sworn officers still need to verify they've been fully vaccinated. Seattle Times says that number doesn't include another 111 officers who are seeking an exemption. Mayor Durkan sent a letter to city employees Monday urging them to get vaccinated and saying she doesn't want to lose them. Q13 reports that SPD is preparing to mobilize for emergency staffing as of next week. UW Medicine has added COVID-19 to the list of required vaccinations for organ transplants. Q13 reports as of last week, unvaccinated transplant patients were deemed ineligible unless they had a specific medical exemption. UW says requiring up-to-date vaccinations is nothing new, since a transplant patient's immune system is weaker for some time after the procedure. And yes, that was a beluga whale swimming around the Sound earlier this week. A boater captured video of the white whale in Commencement Bay over the weekend. Then it was spotted in Elliott Bay earlier this week. A researcher with the Orca Network tells KUOW he can't explain why the whale would be in waters more than 1,500 miles from the nearest beluga pod up in Alaska. Other than sometimes, whales just like to go for a walkabout. If you see it, give it some extra space. It's alone and far from home. Sound Transit unveiled Northgate Station on Saturday. It's the new northernmost stop on our growing light rail system. The train is not only changing the way people get around, but what each community looks like around each stop. KUOW reporter Joshua McNichols spoke to stakeholders in Northgate about what this new train means for them. Hey, Joshua. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Trish.
So you were out at the Northgate Station on its opening weekend. I know there was tons of excitement and people. Tell me what you saw. Tell me what it was like.
Well, I was there on Sunday, and it was pretty full. I mean, the northbound trains were full of disappointed Mariners fans leaving their game, and they were headed to the Northgate Park and Ride. And then the southbound trains were full of, like, cheerful, optimistic Sounders fans heading south to their game.
Yep, I saw a bunch of those folks. Actually, Joshua, I ran into someone on my way to the Mariners game who had a Sounders jersey underneath his Mariners jersey because he was doing the double sport event. And all made extremely convenient by this new train. Unlike the bus link in the North End, the light rail station is elevated. It's cool. You can see it from I-5. You are a former architect. Tell me what strikes you about this station.
Well, it's such a different experience being above ground as opposed to being below ground. I mean, you know, you burst out of the ground in this train, and it's like it's this radical change in the experience of being on the train. And then once you're up there, you're out looking over I-5 and just looking at the gridlock that you've sort of left behind by getting on this train. And it's a magical experience, kind of bursting out of the ground in this train and being in all this light and openness. And that's very exciting.
Yeah, it's a really fun ride up I-5. And you're right. You can look out the window and see all the traffic that you aren't in. What I'm really hearing you say here, Joshua, is that this is an opportunity for a lot of people to rethink the space in the North End. And I can already tell that it's becoming more of a hub because even with the Iceplex opening, the traffic is backing up. What are you hearing people say about the light rail itself?
Well, one of the people I spoke to was Michael Naguse. He's a community organizer who works closely with the East African community in the Northgate area.
Having a light rail is really a blessing for the community. You know, people can go easily. Most of them, they work in downtown, you know, service. They are service employee. And instead of taking car, you know, it asks a lot of insurance, gas, and parking. It saves them a lot of money.
I can definitely see, Joshua, how this changes the equation for a lot of families in terms of how much money they have to lay out simply to work in this city. That's a great change. Who else did you talk to?
Well, you know, at the site of the old Northgate Mall itself, I walked the property with Sean Kuo. He's an urban planning student who grew up a block away from Northgate. You lived a block away from the mall?
Mm-hmm. I could see a lot of things, basically, from my little balcony, yeah.
And now he writes about it for The Urbanist. He's not nostalgic to lose the old mall where he wasted so much time as a kid waiting for his mom to try and close at the Macy's.
Northgate could use a change. When the mall was around and before that, it was very much like a very young suburb of Seattle, more like. But when the light rail comes in, it'll be actually a part of this city, like part of the urban core. Because, the travel time between Northgate and Westlake is 15-ish minutes. That's basically part of downtown at that point.
Beyond the Northgate Mall site itself, I also spent a lot of time in that next ring of land around Northgate talking to people there, like Shaiz Adamji, whose family owns the Nexus Hotel on Northgate Way, just west of I-5.
I sat on the Northgate Stakeholders Group with under Mayor Nichols, I think around 2003 to 2006, that time period.
She's been in this debate about the future of Northgate for a long time. This was before voters even approved funding for the Northgate extension of light rail. But back then, the community right around Northgate Mall saw that this neighborhood was going to be an important place where infrastructure linking north and south and east and west all come together. And they decided to put a whole lot more density there. They limited the growth to the area right around Northgate itself because it's politically dangerous to threaten neighborhoods full of single-family homes with development there. But at this moment, the arrival of light rail has connected Northgate with the rest of Seattle in a new way, and it's elevating the accessibility of this urban center.
The opening of light rail at Northgate is going to reconnect Northgate to the rest of Seattle, to SeaTac. I think that'll be fabulous. I'm hearing people living down in the South End who are, you know, calling up their friends who live in Northgate and saying, I can come visit you now.
Damji says that connectivity makes her land much more valuable. She says the city should rezone it and let her and her neighbors build up to 200 feet tall. That's 20 stories. That's high enough that they could build steel towers, not just wood buildings.
You know, Joshua, I am not sure that would fly with everybody in the neighborhood because I can already see the traffic backed up on 5th right in front of the Iceplex. So, what a great idea. Who else did you talk to?
Well, let's go a little bit further out to sort of test how far the changes to Northgate could go. Let's go next to North Seattle College. And before light rail, it was a little bit isolated, according to the president of the college, Dr. Shamin Crawford.
Along 5, either direction, you can see North Seattle College. But then, you know, my question was, well, how do you get there? So now, there's no question.
The result of the way that it used to be, you know, where you could see the campus from I-5, but you couldn't figure out how to get there, was that most people got to campus by either driving or taking a bus or maybe two buses. And this shaped the campus into basically a commuter campus surrounded by a sea of parking lots. But now, light rail dumps you out at a pedestrian bridge over I-5 that leads directly to the campus, so it's obvious how to get there. And that's changing everything for this college.
You know, just bringing more people to the campus, it's going to be beneficial for students who want to, let's say, take classes between Central Seattle College and North Seattle College, right? For many of our high school students who come to campus, hop on the train, ride up.
Joshua, it really sounds exciting for students to be able to connect to North Seattle College in this extremely efficient, easy way. It sounds like light rail is really making it easier for people to get an education, or at least part of their education up here in the North End. What is it doing for the college? What are they doing with this new opportunity?
Well, I think in the short term, you know, besides getting more students, which they think this will do, you know, they've got like a new program to, you know, train firefighters, for example, and that is just taking off. And, you know, one possible reason is because people can get there by light rail now. They're coming from all over the county. But, you know, in the short term, they're thinking that a lot of their parking lots could become a revenue source for the college. Like they could rent them out as a park and ride or as overflow parking for hockey events at the Kraken Community Iceplex. But in the long term, they're thinking about redeveloping more of their land. Like, you know, there's a couple of nonprofits that are building affordable housing just south of the main campus buildings. And eventually the college could seek approval for more buildings if enrollment grows enough. But it takes years to get funding for new campus buildings. You have to go through the state legislature and requests for funding just sit on people's desks for many sessions before they can go through. But already Crawford says there are people knocking on her door asking if the college can host art fairs and car shows and other events. So she's starting to get a sense of the importance of her college's location and the value of its land.
Joshua, I'm hearing a lot of great energy from you and everyone around this light rail station and the potential for what can happen on the land around it. But of course, massive development is not always easy, and there are always winners and losers. Who is the loser in this scenario?
Well, I think a lot depends on how accessible the development is, how affordable it is. For example, there are some affordable housing projects coming to the neighborhood, but Michael Naguse, who organizes the East African community in Northgate, he feels like the people he knows aren't being consulted or even being told about what's on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, the community is not getting the news, what's going on. You know, that's a problem.
How is the new Kraken Community Iceplex affecting the area? I have seen a lot of hockey gear being hauled across that parking lot.
It's a major anchor in this development. For example, Shaiza Damji, who owns the Hotel Nexus, already has a lot of customers who come to watch sports events, including the Mariners, the Seahawks, and the Huskies, all of which are now connected to her hotel by light rail, by the way. But in addition, now there will be families coming to the area to watch hockey tournaments at the Iceplex, and she thinks she'll get a lot of customers from that. If they could only make it easier to carry hockey gear on the light rail train, though, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Joshua, Northgate, of course, the end of the line at this point, but there will be stations coming in a few years. How does being situated at the end of the line right now affect Northgate?
Well, it means that in the short term, there's going to be heavy demand on the parking spaces already in that neighborhood, right? Because a lot of people from the north are going to want to come down here and park and get on light rail. And that's going to slow the redevelopment of some of those parking lots, at least until light rail extends to Linwood beyond Northgate in 2024. And then, you know, there's still going to be a demand for parking here because the land around Northgate is so spread out. So there's a lot of people who have to drive in this area to get around. But that demand for parking will be especially intense for the next 3 years.
You know, we have waited for so long to get light rail up to the North End. And a lot of people are saying that this opening at Northgate and the other stations is the beginning of a golden era of light rail in our region. How much will this station and other stations coming down the pike change this city?
I think a lot. I mean, when you look around the region and see the traffic congestion, that represents a kind of friction. You know, it's an inefficiency that locks people out of job opportunities and affordable housing. And slowly, Sound Transit has been building an alternative to that friction. First, they've been connecting South Seattle to downtown and then to the University of Washington and the airport. But the effectiveness of this light rail system in bringing different kinds of opportunities to different people has been limited by the short length of this rail system. And in the next few years, though, it's going to expand by leaps and bounds. You know, it's going to cross some of the biggest choke points in the region. It's going to cross Lake Washington. And so in different ways, on land around each of these light rail stations come in these more distant places like Mount Lake Terrace and the Spring District and Federal Way, we're going to see different visions put forward for rethinking how the land around those stations is used. And a lot of these places will feel totally different, you know, with little village-like neighborhoods popping up where there used to be no distinct center. I mean, Seattle was shaped by the neighborhood commercial districts that sprung up around trolley lines at the beginning of the 20th century. And those trolley lines were eventually taken out, but the neighborhoods they left behind are some of the most beloved parts of the city. And now the region is going to be investing in centers like that again, this time built around light rail.
Fascinating, Joshua. Fascinating. Really appreciate you. KUOW's Joshua McNichols riding the Northgate rail line. Thanks for your time.
No problem.
Thanks for listening today. Follow us on Instagram. Find us at Seattle Now Pod. Caroline Chamberlain Gomez produced today's show. Our production team is Claire McGrain, Diana Opong, Jenny Cecil Moore, and Jason Pagano. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.